Let me start with a question. What if the reason some of your leadership stalled this year wasn't vision, it wasn't gifting, it wasn't your calling, it was your energy? And we're not talking about a lack of talent, and it wasn't a lack of faith, but a quiet depletion, just the slow draining of emotional, relational, and spiritual energy required to truly connect as a communicator, as a servant leader, a team leader, even a pastor. As we close this season of the Five Gifts podcast and stand on the edge of a new year, we want to ask a deeper leadership question. What kind of energy will you bring into this next season God is inviting you to lead? And it's all right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. This is a place where we explore Spirit-filled leadership through the lens of the fivefold ministry, the apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, and teaching callings, and how those gifts mature in real people, real relationships, and you got it, real pressure. My name is Charles Russell.
And I'm Bruce Ritter. We greet you as 2025 is coming to a close. And Charles, the Panthers are in the playoffs. At least next Sunday will be like the playoffs. They've got to win to get in, and against the dreaded Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's right. Well, it all comes down to one last game. They choked and laid an egg yesterday. Of course, they were playing a superior team. So we'll give them a pass. But it all comes down to bottom lines this Sunday. And so if you're a Buccaneers fan, we're praying for you, because you're gonna have some hurt feelings and emotions after Sunday's Carolina Panthers victory. We're prophesying that in the name of the Lord, you know, today. So we'll see whether we're prophets or not, but a lot of prayer going up this week, just real quick, the Panthers are nowhere near. They're not deserving of being a playoff team. Certainly not winning a division. But hey, we didn't make the rules, and we didn't put them in the NFC South. They just happen to be in a pretty poor division, and so you take advantage of the opportunities that come your way, and so hopefully they'll come out with a big win Sunday, win a division title, march into the playoffs, where it will be a certain first round defeat, I'm sure. But hey, we're still in the playoffs.
Hey, they've had some stunning wins this year, some head scratching losses, and it leaves them at 500. Mm-hmm. You know, just a few changes over the course of the season, you'd be talking about a very good season or an even worse season. So I'm excited to see what's going to play out. Dave Canales has got, I think he's got a plan in place, and Bryce Young has stepped up this year. So maybe it bodes good hope for the future.
Well, we've always got to have faith, and so we'll put our faith in the Panthers. But what attitude I've taken this year is, you know, whatever good things come, I just think I take those as a bonus. If we make the playoffs, we're probably a year ahead of schedule. And so, you know, I can't be too upset, even if we don't make it. It'll be disappointing. But I think they're on the right track, and you're right. Coach has got them on a good pathway forward, and they're just going to continue to add to the talent pool. Anyway, that's a conversation for next year. This year, the playoffs are before us. And these cardiac cats, as they used to be known, they're going to come through in the clutch, and we're going to go to the playoffs this year. So, well, anyway, there's your football report. that you didn't ask for, but we joyfully delivered to you. We got a great episode lined up today. This is a special episode. This is our season finale. We're intentionally slowing down. It's not about a strategy for the next quarter. This is all about a posture for the next year. So we're going to draw from some great leadership insights that are related not to just communicating as a leader, but also genuinely connecting with the people that God calls us to lead, especially from the idea that connection always requires energy.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Charles. And as leaders, we tend to measure success by output. The sermons that we preach, the initiatives that we launch, the people mobilized, the numbers that we accumulated or we lost. But scripture and experience both tell us that influence flows through relationship, and relationship always costs energy. So today we want to reflect on, you know, what it means to finish a season honestly and start a new one with some intentionality. So we want to start off today by saying that connecting as a leader is intentional. It's not accidental. It doesn't happen just because you accidentally have skills to connect better than others. No, every leader has to bring a certain degree of intentionality in the way they connect. And that's one of the most important leadership realizations. It's simply that connection happens intentionally. It doesn't happen automatically. You can communicate clearly and still never connect. You can have the right bullet points. You can say the right things. You can have the message that that sums up things with clarity and intrigue. But as well as you can communicate, as clearly as you can communicate, as well as you could lead with competency, you can still have a relational distance between you and the people that you're called to influence. And as leaders, you know, that's not something we drift into. We don't drift into connection, decide to move forward and move toward it. So in the New Testament, we have example. I mean, it's everything from Jesus being intentional, going to each disciple and saying, come and see, come and follow me. And Paul doesn't just teach churches. He initiates relationship. And you can read his letters. And in every letter, there it's filled with the names of people that he had relationship with. And he remembers stories. He has an emotional investment. You can tell when he's writing Timothy and he's talking about Timothy's commissioning, that Paul didn't just lay his hands on a minister to recognize gifts in him. He imparted something to Timothy, and that really just shows a deep connection. So connection always begins with a choice that simply says, I'm going to move toward people, even when it costs me. And that means going out of my way to spend extra time with people. It means giving up some of the precious, you know, we say time is money. Man, one of the huge costs with people is time. It's not trite. It's not pocket change. That's deep value in your leadership. But when you devote it to people, you're definitely communicating the value that you place on them. So again, meaningful connection doesn't happen by default. We have to choose to expend our energy to connect with people. Passive communication, it can convey the right information, but it's connection that requires engagement. So if you want to connect, with people that you're leading, you've got to initiate it. You've got to communicate that they are valuable to you and that they can see that in the energy that you're putting toward your influence with them. So as we reflect on the year behind us, there's an honest question I think it's important to ask. One easy one would be, where did I assume connection would just happen? And then as you look ahead, think about the ways that you can and the people that you need to be more intentional with.
Yeah, those are some great questions that to ponder on, to chew on. You know, and that intentionality, Bruce, you're talking about, it raises another question. And it's this: why do some relationships receive more energy than others? And I think the answer to that is that energy flows toward what we value. Energy reveals priority in our lives. And so we spend energy on what matters to us, on what we believe will produce a return, what brings meaning and fulfillment, what provides security. In leadership, you know, that can be a dangerous dynamic, because it's easy to invest energy in platforms or outcomes or systems while unintentionally neglecting people. And, you know, here on this podcast, we hold Jesus as the standard. So as we look to Jesus, what we see is that he reverses that instinct within us. He pours himself into 12. Jesus slows down for one. He notices those that others overlook. And so this whole idea of energy flowing toward what matters most, you know, people naturally invest energy in what they value. Leaders who genuinely care about people will willingly spend emotional, mental, and relational energy to connect. I think about just my ministry, my time in pastoral leadership, the times that I've been intentional about connecting and expending energy in a relationship, that's where I've seen great lift and great increase in my leadership, in my relational connectivity with people. And that's where I've seen great fruit in ministry, is when I've spent that kind of intentional leadership capital relationally connecting with them. And so, you know, again, in this whole idea of energy flowing toward what we value, a lack of connection often can reveal in us misplaced priorities. Not a lack of skill, but it really highlights and reveals misplaced priorities in our leadership. So kind of a key idea that we can really, this all hinges on, is that connection reveals what, or even more importantly, who you value. Connection reveals what or who you value. So as we close the year, just a few days left, some questions that as leaders can be very valuable and beneficial for us is: what or who received the majority of my energy this year? What projects or who are the people, who are the other leaders, who are the people we're training in ministry or in leadership, who received the majority of my energy this year? That's a great inventory question to really begin to reflect on, begin to think through. Go back and look through your calendars and your meetings. Go back through this year and think through people you spent time with. Who received the majority of my energy this year? What a great question to ask. And then just as importantly, the converse of that question is: what or who did not receive the majority of my energy this year? So begin to assess who received the majority of that energy, but then also begin to identify who did not. Who did I neglect this year, or what did I not give enough energy to? Is there a project? Is there a person that just did not receive the energy and relationship that they needed? So if the coming year of 26 is going to look different, it's going to require realignment, not of just vision, but of my energy as the leader. And so I think those are a couple great questions to ask, to begin to assess, and that will also help me, it helps all of us begin to realign, not just in vision, but in how I'm expending energy in the new year.
That's a good point, Charles. Just our discussion today, it reminds me of Gordon McDonald's book, Recovering Your Spiritual Passion. And in that book, he talks about the truth in leadership is that, you know, your spiritual vitality, and I'm relating this to energy in leadership, is that it has to burn in you all the time. You know, it's the candle that can't go out. It has to be bright. And I think once we recognize that our energy has been depleted, our spiritual passion is low, then that puts a burden on leadership. You think of the burden of leadership is carrying it out all the time. Well, there's a greater burden when it depletes. You've got to recover it. You've got to recapture that vitality in leadership, because God has called you and placed you in a significant role of leading and influencing people and helping them move into His agenda. And so I would say that once you recognize that your energy is gone, you've got to somehow recapture it. And the truth is that leaders always go first in connection. I think of Jesus in the upper room when he tells the disciples, this is, you know, the night of the resurrection, and he gets them John 20, but he says to them, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." And so there's a principle there, you know, leaders go first, and Jesus went first. And because he went first, now it's incumbent upon us in leadership related to kingdom mission. Now I'm talking about if you're in the marketplace and you know God has placed you there, or if you're working in the church world and you're called to spiritual leadership in that capacity, then you've got to show initiative. You've got to go first when it comes to making connection with people. Healthy leaders don't wait to be pursued. They don't wait for people to show up at their door. They're the ones that initiate. They don't wait for affirmation to be present. They don't wait for openness to extend empathy. They are initiating that. They are present. They are empathetic. They are just like Jesus. They're the ones that go first. And so what you long to see in the initiative of your people, if they're not seeing that in you at a healthy clip, then you're going to struggle to see that in your people. Jesus always goes first. He's extending grace before we repent. He's inviting. He's inviting us before we have a chance to respond to him. That's always the principle. So we need to follow that pattern as well. So as leaders, this means connection becomes our responsibility, really. It's not someone else's readiness. And again, we talked about the costs of connecting with people. And listen, there's a cost to connect with people when you're tired. It's going to require something of you to pull it to the surface and go make the connection. But going first is how trust is formed. And listen, I think people can pick up on your struggle. And so when they see you making an effort, even when you don't feel it from time to time, when they know that you're pulling it together to reach out to them, that's meaningful. And again, it builds trust. It builds credibility. So again, connecting means going first. Effective connectors, they take responsibility for the relationship. They initiate. They build the bridge. They show empathy before they're asked. They offer care and advice before it's asked for, because that's the nature of leadership. We initiate connection with people. We don't wait for others to be warm. We don't wait for others to be open or responsive. You know who needs to be warm? You do. You know who needs to show an openness to people? You do. The leaders don't wait for the invitation. Leaders create those connections. And then leaders set the relational tone by stepping forward, by showing interest, initiative, empathy, care. Just a simple question. I was thinking about you today. How's your day going? Again, leaders don't wait to be invited. They create connection. So this is so important, Charles, because we talk so much about the leader's role, that apostolic anointing, where you've got to find leaders to help grow the organization. You've got to find leaders. We talk about in the church how important it is to get 10% of your next level. We need to have 10% of that next level of people already engaged in leadership. And so you've got to initiate that. You've got to find those leaders and recruit them and connect with them and begin to bring them together and build your cohesive team. So again, you don't wait to be invited into a relationship with people. You create that with people. So as you look ahead to the new year, something to consider is who might God be inviting you to move toward, even without guarantees, even without the sense that they've shown any readiness, but just a sense of, as you listen to the Holy Spirit, who are the people that God is inviting you to move toward?
Yeah, that's a great question to think about. My only problem with that question is you put a little caveat on there, Bruce, that says even without guarantees. And that's hard. I like guarantees. I want to know that if I'm going to move forward in faith, that someone's going to be there to receive and reciprocate that same kind of movement, you know. But what a great concept and principle you're teaching us to you know, who's God asking us to move toward? Who's God asking us to initiate, to make the first move toward in the new year? And of course, going first it's not just a behavioral choice. It requires emotional capacity, right? So, connection requires a certain level of emotional energy from us as leaders. The truth is that none of us can connect deeply while remaining emotionally disengaged. It just doesn't happen. So leadership drains emotional reserves. Things like disappointment, criticism, unmet expectations, grief, all these things over time can build up. And what we also do as leaders, we learn to protect ourselves. And sometimes that protection becomes disconnection. And so we've got to be very careful that we don't fall into that trap of in the act of protecting ourselves as a leader, that we're also removing and disconnecting ourselves relationally. Emotional withdrawal, it always reduces influence. Jesus feels compassion. And so what that teaches us is that emotional engagement is not weakness, it's incarnation. It's not weakness, it is, however, incarnation. So again, connection requires emotional energy. And real connection involves empathy, vulnerability. It's not a Greek word, it's part of the English vocabulary, and it's still... I still can't say it. Let me try it again. Real connection involves the vulnerability. All right, big hand for this guy. And attentiveness, right? So all these things work together in this emotional energy quotient that we're working toward. As leaders, we have to manage our own emotional state to connect well. So we can't check out. We have to be engaged with others. We have to remain engaged and have, we need some high levels of self-awareness so that we are engaging and that we're able to connect well. Things like fatigue and distraction, cynicism, or self-focus can drain relational effectiveness. We've got to be aware of that, so that we're combating these distractions, these obstacles, so that we are exerting the emotional energy we need so that we can remain connected. So again, this in this section, he's kind of hinging around the idea of leaders cannot connect deeply while emotionally disengaged. We have to be connected and engaged emotionally. So as the new year approaches, as we move into 2026, leaders, let's ask these questions. All right. Number one, what emotions am I carrying that need to be acknowledged before I lead again. All right. So as we get ready to jump into this new year, what are some emotions that I'm carrying that I'm holding on to, maybe that I'm hiding, and what are some of these emotions that, if not acknowledged, can cause some difficulty for me? What needs to be acknowledged? What needs to be addressed so that in 26 I can lead with my best foot forward? Because unattended emotions, they'll always surface somewhere. And oftentimes in ways that we never intended. In other words, let's deal with it now, so that these unattended, unacknowledged emotions don't show up and bite us in 26 somewhere, and just sneak up on us and surprise us, come out of blindside us out of left field, you know, because if we don't take care of them now, somewhere in 26, they're going to pop up, and it's not going to be pretty. So I would just encourage all of us, take some more assessment, reflect through some of these questions, so that we are dealing with some emotions that will try to rear their ugly head in 26.
Charles, this was so valuable. People need to back up 5-6 minutes and just listen to that again. I think if, you know, we're saying that leadership, connecting with people, demands energy. What we're not saying is do it from a place of not being healthy. And certainly there, you know, there's a real emotional drain when it comes to being a leader. And certainly we would never encourage anyone to lead out of a sense where you've been wounded or hurt, or you need a break. I mean, there's a principle about living in spiritual vitality that means that you find rhythms of Sabbath and rest, and you know, you can't burn the candle at both ends. And Charles, as you were saying that, I kept thinking of a question that was posed to me recently, and that is, and what are the things that deplete you? And I think you mentioned the phrase self-awareness. It's a huge word for a leader. You've got to be self-aware. You've got to know what depletes you. And I couldn't help but think that one thing that depletes my energy is conflict. And so when it comes to conflict, I have a tendency, and it's a natural thing. It's not something I want to do, but I kind of have a natural inclination to avoid. And so I resign myself. I lose energy in those moments, and I have to be mindful of that, because as a leader, I can't show disengagement. And so it's important that we as leaders find those rhythms, especially, you know, when we're feeling the emotional pull, because that could be an indicator that's something you need to prep for, you need to be ready for. You know, the call to leadership, the thing is, it's not convenient. And, you know, I think we need to remember that leadership often collides with comfort. You know, connection is going to cost you more than you expect. And I don't think we ever get through that learning curve completely. I think it's always a new surprise. Wow, that moment in leadership, it cost me something. Connection's expensive. People are expensive. We're not talking about how you cut a 2x4 or how you lay a ceiling truss. We're talking about people. And so people present, you know, strange, weird dynamics. They don't always mesh well with our personality. Our personality doesn't always mesh well with theirs. So connecting with people, it costs patience. It costs listening. It costs adjusting your pace, your preferences, your control. It means putting down your phone when people are blowing it up with text, just to listen and focus on the person in front of you. So there's so much that goes into to the cost of connecting with people. And I think, you know, if we're honest as leaders, we often underestimate the relational cost of influence. But one thing we have to remember is that comfort always resists connection. Doing things at our pace, that resists sometimes the connection that's necessary that we need to make with people. So it takes energy to listen well. It takes energy to adjust our communication. It takes energy to be patient instead of blowing up at some knucklehead and giving them a piece of your mind. It takes energy to withhold judgment. Connecting with difficult people or challenging audiences can require extra effort. So the bottom line is that leaders have to be willing to pay that relational cost rather than retreat. Again, it's costly. But the truth is, listen, disconnection can cost you more. It can burn bridges. It can lose credibility, lose trust. A second thing to remember is that connection requires giving up comfort. Like, again, true connection requires stepping outside of routines, preferences, your personality tendencies even. I find that as a leader, Charles, I'm a deeply ingrained introvert. As a leader, man, I have to lay that aside. I have to become something else in those moments. It doesn't mean I lead with inauthenticity. It just simply means that I've got to pull myself up and get out of my headspace sometimes to make those connections that I need with people. And so I have to adapt my pace, my style, my focus to meet others where they are. As a leader, you got to do the same thing. And remember, comfort resists connection. It will take intentional effort to really connect with people. And so another thing to remember is that connection grows where the comfort ends. So as we close this season and open up a new one, the question becomes, what are some comforts that I've leaned into for my own personal satisfaction, my own personal desire, that I need to release to lead well in the next year? Comfort can feel safe. And listen, a rhythm of finding rest and comfort is important. But when you lean into that and it prohibits you from making the connections that are necessary as an influencer and as a leader, it's going to rarely produce transformation.
Yeah, man, that's profound. Those are important words you're giving to us. Great wisdom. Stepping on my toes a little bit too. I think I'm thinking about things that I've grown comfortable in that I need to break out of in a new year. But that can be intimidating, you know, when you think about all the change, stepping out in the new ground, but the comforting part of that or the thought that should produce confidence in us, I guess maybe is a good way to say it, is that the return on this kind of investment is priceless. If we're willing to step out and make these kind of investments that you've been talking to us about, Bruce, the return on investment is just priceless as far as transformational leadership, servant leadership is concerned. Because what we're learning, what we'll continue to learn is that energy creates momentum and influence. So when leaders bring energy, others respond with trust. And so as I make these investments, as I make these subtle shifts, but sometimes big leaps, you know, in adjusting pace and style and stepping out of comfort levels, whether they're small or seemingly large, as I make these investments, what that's allowing me to do is bring energy into the leadership relationship. And when I bring energy as a leader, other people, they respond with trust because it creates momentum, creates influence. And a natural response to that is trust. And so people don't just follow clarity. They follow care. People want to be cared for, and they want to know that they are being cared for. And so when I bring energy into the relationship, it communicates value. Look, when I put the phone down, as you mentioned, Bruce, and listen deeply, listen intentionally, listen actively to the other individual, that communicates great value. And I think this is just a personal thought that I have, personal conviction. I think that's one of the greatest ways that we can communicate value in this day and age is to put the phone down and to just listen. What a great message of value that we're communicating to others. Presence communicates priority. So what we want to highlight is that connecting it's not just a book we read. It's not just a lesson we learn. It's now a leadership responsibility. Leaders cannot outsource connection. That word outsource, there's a lot of outsourcing that happens in ministry, in the marketplace, and some of that is good. Some of that is not so good. And I think when we outsource relationship and outsource intentional connection, that's never a good thing. I've mentioned this in a meeting, Bruce, that you and I were in a couple weeks ago now, and I was just talking about how at Easter of this year in 25, after Easter, there's a few forums that I kind of follow, and in these forums there are all kinds of pastors and church leaders with one big complaint, and that complaint was we had a great crowd, record crowds, but we didn't get any kind of address or follow-up information because no one scanned our QR codes. We spent all the money and put the banners and the messaging all around the facility, and we had them in the sanctuary. We had the QR codes, and what they discovered was they outsourced their relational connection for a QR code. And I think QR codes are great, but oftentimes we try to outsource everything, and so now it becomes the tail wagging the dog, you can't outsource relationships and relational connections. So use QR code, use technology, but not to the neglect of intentional relational connection. So again, connecting is a leadership responsibility. Position alone does not create relational buy-in. How many times have you been in a meeting and the leader says, they trusted in their organizational title to create vision buy-in? Well, that's a low level of leadership. Position alone does not create relational buy-in. It takes intentional connection. It takes relationship building to produce that. When leaders invest energy in connection, influence naturally follows. Again, what we're talking about is that leadership without connection limits a leader's influence. And look, we for every one of us that's leading in 26, our prayer and our desire is that we have multiplied influence and leadership in 26. And so wherever, whatever level you're leading with influence this year, our prayer and our desire is that God multiplies that exponentially for you. But that's going to come through the investment of energy and connection. When those investments are there, influence naturally follows. So we don't want your leadership limited in influence because of a lack of connection. So the return on relational energy is influence. When people feel connected, here's a few things that happen. Number one, they listen more closely. They might lean in a little bit longer, right? They trust more deeply, and they follow more willingly. So energy invested relationally, it multiplies one's leadership effectiveness. So again, here's the key idea here, right? Connection is the bridge between communication and influence. So be a bridge builder in the new year. Be a connector. As the new year begins, people will, they're not going to only listen to what you say, they're going to feel how you lead. So the question is not whether you'll spend energy, but where are you going to spend that energy?
Charles, tremendous insight, and especially the not just the last point, but the point prior to that, that leadership without connection limits influence. And I just think that's so valuable, and we want to leave that with our listeners today. What I think an appropriately timed issue to talk about as we say goodbye to 2025 and hello to 2026. And as we close this season, we want to leave you with a reflective question, one we encourage you to respond to in the comment section. Simply this: where is God inviting me or you to reinvest relational energy in the coming year of your leadership? This is not about more activity. It's not about more noise. It's about really connecting with people on a much deeper level.
Absolutely. If you're sensing that your leadership needs a bit of recalibration, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, we want you to know that you don't have to navigate that journey alone. Bruce offers leadership and spiritual coaching at coachingcardia.com. I offer training, coaching, resources at charlesrusselltraining.com and charlesrussellministries.com.
And thank you to our listeners for walking with us in this second season of the Five Gifts podcast. Charles and I love showing up on our dedicated time of the week to record, which is usually on a Monday morning like it is today. But we're grateful that you as our listeners have tuned in, and we're expectant for what God is going to do in the year ahead. Season 3 begins next week.
So as you start a new year, commit to lead with energy, lead with presence, and lead from God who is forming you to be. So with all that said, we will see you right here next year only on the Five Gifts podcast.
Happy New Year.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.